Welcome to Elevate Your Event, your favorite podcast for transforming fundraising events. Join us weekly for expert tips and creative ideas to make your next event a standout success.
In this episode of the Elevate Your Event podcast, we are joined with an all-woman team of hand-bid pros, Lori, Elise, and Inga, and our special guest, Marissa Walters with Wild Hair Auctions. Join us as we dive into the inspiring world of women in fundraising and philanthropy. Enjoy. All right, welcome back to the Elevate Your Event podcast. We're glad to have you with us today for a special podcast with only the women representing. So it is Women's History Month this month, and it is also International Women's Day on Friday. So we are excited to have a crew of amazing women here today. Woo-hoo. So today we're going to discuss women and fundraising, all different aspects of women in fundraising. So to get us started, the first statistic I have for today is that statistics are showing that 67% of U.S. and Canadian donors, so not just the U.S., and Canadian donors are female. And women and girls organizations receive 1.8% of charitable giving in the United States.
I'm not surprised.
No, not at all.
Well, That's amazing.
It is funny because when you go to an event and you're like, you know, you are doing check-in and you're giving out the bidder number, and the joke always is like, who's going to get the number? But it, more often than not too, you do see the gentleman yield to the woman, right?
Yeah.
Because
it
could be the cause that that she brought him too, and or he also understands the economics of their household, and that's her passion and where she wants to give.
Yep. It's funny you say that, because I have my own joke as I check people in. I look at the gentleman, I look at the lady, and I say, we all know who's in charge here. And then I just hand her the paddle.
Totally.
She's keeping track of all the spending. But the other part of that statistic that's pretty fascinating is the amount of money that's going into charitable organizations. Only 1.8% are going to women organizations, but showing that women aren't just giving to charitable organizations for women.
Right.
That makes sense.
They're giving to all different types of charities.
Well, I think we see that it takes all kinds, right? Women and moms, right? We understand that it takes a lot to make the world go round, that it isn't, we need to support women, we need to uplift young girls and women and show them what they can do and what they can be. Representation matters. But at the same time, too, we also understand that we have to support those other causes that create a well-rounded world and community.
Right.
Yep.
And exactly.
Not to offend any amazing men in our lives, I will be so brave to say that we as women have higher emotional intelligence.
James, the producer, is grinning.
He has four daughters, right?
No. He's agreeably nodding his head.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty interesting, I mean, to state that. I mean, there's another statistic here that I had found, says that women and charities, women's and girls, right? Charities received $8.8 billion in 2020, which is a 9.2% increase.
That's
2020. I don't have statistics for recently, but that's what I just found on here. So, I mean, that's pretty cool. And there aren't really good, strong statistics around how many charitable organizations are women-only focused. I think a lot of charities like to be a little broader than trying to be women-only, but it's pretty cool. I mean, women are important in fundraising, right? Most fundraising is around women. James, the producer, said before this that would there be fundraising if it wasn't for women? I don't know. Good question.
It is a great question.
And we were chatting, Marissa and I, before the podcast about just the difference between women and men and maybe what kind of organizations they're drawn to. I know for me, in my charitable giving, I'm drawn to whatever I've had a personal experience with. I might know somebody who struggled with something, right? I have to have an emotional buy-in as a woman. Whereas my husband will donate to something that he just thinks is cool.
Absolutely.
With no experience with it. You know, how about you guys? Have you guys have any like personal experience with that yourself, giving or just seen things? Marissa's an auctioneer. You know, what do you guys see?
Yeah, I mean, I think that too in our household is very similar. You know, one of the things we worked a lot with our kids, you know, you do everything you can to try to teach them how to manage their money, right? So when they were younger, they had the invest, the spend, the save, and the donate. And so every year, Colorado Gives Day, we sit down and we talk about what you're going to give to. And it is funny to watch the difference between what Coleman chooses and what Maya chooses. You know, like where hers is very much emotional.
Yeah.
She's led by who she is as a person and what she wants the world to be or how she wants to be acknowledged, recognized. recognized. Where Coleman will just be like, yeah, dogs are cool. Let's just give to that dog thing. You know, where it's not a lot of...
I don't even have a dog, right. And I would give it to a dog thing.
Right, but it's not a lot of thought, where hers is very thoughtful. She'll sit down, look at the list, you know, like you said, the personal connection. Mm-hmm. She had a friend 2 years ago when she was at a school who she found out around Christmas time was homeless. And so then she saw they were unhoused and they were in a shelter. One of the causes on there, I'd never heard of it in my life, but she's like, Mom, this is the one I want to give to you because of my friend, because this is an organization that could help her. And I was like,
That's amazing.
Cool.
Yes.
But again, like I said, where Coleman's like, cool, dogs are cool. I just want the dog charity, which that's okay too, right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I mean, if you're a foundation, it doesn't matter. Like you'll take the money from anywhere, yeah.
Totally.
You know, but I mean, that's just pretty cool. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. How about you guys, fun. Elise and Inga?
You go, Elise.
I definitely think...
Anything dogs.
Yeah, anything dogs. Yes, for sure. I'm with Coleman. Oh, it's a dog yes. one. No. But yes, I think I do want to give back to organizations that I care about. And I mean, I think of some of the really neat organizations that do support women and like... you know, Girls on the Run and a lot of
it's a great one.
Really mm-hmm. supportive, you know, empowering organizations. And I do, like, my heart just wants to support them right. mm-hmm. for sure.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Mm-hmm. For me, it's all about emotional connection. I cry every time I see the commercial on TV when, you know, they ask you to donate to the abandoned dogs.
Oh, I just turn it off.
I'm not even going to say it.
It's almost too much emotion.
I cry every time. It's like it makes me suffer. But then I immediately want to grab my phone and donate to that number right there on a TV.
Yeah.
So yes, it's all about emotional connection. I care a lot about a lot of things, mm-hmm. But I feel like it's about the mission and the story behind it. It has to be a story.
Yeah.
It speaks to you, and that's why you want to give. Men might think otherwise, but I feel like as a woman, that's how I feel.
Right. No, I think that's important. And we'll tag on to that a little bit in a minute when we talk more specific about some events that we've been at and seen that are women-focused. But I want to chat a little bit about, we talked about women as donors, mm-hmm. But also how about women as fundraisers? The women that work in
the fundraising
oh, there's
industry.
So many of them.
So many. So much so that I have a statistic. You know me, I like statistics. So there's about 85,931 people that work in the fundraising industry. And I would say this is probably like paid fundraising, because mm-hmm. you can imagine right. that volunteering is right. probably just outrageous. Right. But the women account for 70.9%.
I believe it.
70% of that industry.
Yes.
That's right? crazy.
I believe it.
And we can talk about whether those women are in the executive levels or not.
Right. That percentage. I actually think there are
quite a few in the nonprofit.
Quite a few in nonprofit.
Probably more so than
for
the
executive directors. Yeah. And yeah mm-hmm. I see yeah. a lot of them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, you know, agreed. Inga and I work on the service desk, and we do. We definitely deal with a lot more women.
Yes. Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I would say so.
And I wonder, like, what does that draw, right? This kind of goes back to what we were just talking about. Is it they get involved in nonprofits because it is a matter of their passion, mm-hmm. you know, and where their heart is led is to go and to make a difference in whatever way it is in the organization that they're in, you know, or is it that we talk about pay disparity? Maybe it was a job they could get, right? Mm. Who knows? But it does tend to be that it's definitely, you're right, women are our contacts more often mm-hmm. than not yes. in everything yeah, we're sure. doing.
And I also think of every board I've been on, aside from maybe the soccer team, and it's a lot more women. Mm-hmm. So again, I do think depending on the organization and the topic, you know, more of them that really do pull at your heartstrings, those are the women they bring the women in.
I also wonder though if it's like a carryover though from like that whole 1950s lifestyle when it was the man's job, right? Mm-hmm. To be the breadwinner, to go out and make the money, and women were either at home caring for the family, but if they had a certain lifestyle, they had the privilege of going back and giving to their community.
Yeah.
And so maybe it is like also ingrained in us as like our mothers did it, our grandmothers did it, and our mm-hmm. lives have changed and we've become a bigger part of the work industry and the workforce, and we don't just care for families anymore, but we didn't lose that component.
Right.
And we were able then to say, you know what, my mother gave back, now I can have a job giving back. Mm. And so maybe that's kind of also how that came about.
I love that. That's good perspective.
Yes.
She's so smart. We're so glad
she's so smart.
I think it's. I have my moments. Being
Wild Hair Auctions, everybody. She's so smart. I love that.
Yes.
Well, to transition a little bit, let's get into events. So we are elevating events, and we've all probably worked events as, you know, consultants or mm-hmm. auctioneers or as in Hambid for event expert support. Let's talk about some of the events we've seen that have been female focused.
We've seen some fun ones,
yeah,
for sure.
Let's talk about some cool events that we've seen that have a focus on females. Now, I love those events where it's clearly a female focus. Like it's clearly, and then you got these husbands that are being dragged into this event and they're like, ugh, you know, but then there's some that are just like living and loving it and they embrace it. You know, mm-hmm. and like the pink events where the men show up in these sweet pink outfits and stuff. I love that. So tell me some of the things you guys have seen.
Some purse auctions, which are super fun. Mm-hmm. And they're very obviously, I mean, there's probably some men who would die for those purses as well. But, you know, it's crazy. First of all, they get very high-end purses. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how they get them, but I wish I did. But they're super fun. And I think they bring in a lot of money. They bring in a lot of support, participation, and just fun. You know, it's not a dull event. It's mm-hmm. they're all there to have yeah. a great time.
Mm-hmm. I love purse auctions because they always put up, like, they display the purses.
Yes.
And then you might even get to touch it and put it on. And I know for me, this is just for me, but maybe this is other women. I'd be curious to know what you guys think. But I'm much more drawn to the auction item that I can touch and feel.
Right.
And if it's an item that I can bring, like a fashion item or something right. I can bring home that I would never buy normally, but I'm like, it's charity.
Well,
it's
and actually, you know, then you can looking at purses, that's something you will wear. That's something people will be like, oh, you have this brand of purse. And you can say, yes, I got it at the mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah auction. Mm-hmm.
Well, some of us have too many purses.
But it's just going to bring more attention to that yes. organization and hopefully build yes. some more interest. Yeah. So it's win-win. It's win for the bidder and win for the organization.
Yeah.
And then there are fashion shows.
Mm. Those are fun.
They are fun.
Those are fun if they are successful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I am 50-50 on a fashion show.
Yeah, they have to, no offense all, they have to be run well.
Yes.
I mean, they really do. They need to be run. I mean, the one that I work every year, they have the coolest production, the coolest like visuals all behind mm-hmm. them and then cool models. And then they do fashion show in between the live auction. So it's just this super fluid moving event. And it feels like nobody's just sitting around waiting for a live auction to complete, but it's like, let's auction off this stuff. And then let's do this. It's just really fluid and cool. So, and they always have like, topiaries. This is going to be cool. So, hang with me. They have topiaries that are made into gowns.
That's pretty cool.
Yes.
Like flowers and
that's awesome.
That's high end.
Trying to think of different terminology. Yeah. I was going to say bushes.
Foliage.
Foliage works. It's super cool. But
you know, I actually did my first hair show.
Yes, she did.
Like 2 weeks ago.
What is that?
I've never been to one of those.
I hadn't either. So the local salon that's close to my house, it's a woman-owned salon and it's all women stylists. And she's, you know, big at promoting clearly women's causes. She did it for CASA, but her team wanted to get together and they wanted to do a hair show. And she's like, well, if we're going to do something, we got to have a beneficiary. So they chose CASA because she actually had been a foster kid when she was younger. So it was a really cool connection, but it was so neat. They had this woman, female designer for the clothes. They were like, it was Nebula was the theme. So it was legit out of this world. And this hair was so cool. So they used people's own hair, but then they had a bunch of like extension stuff. There was this one that was like, this lady had this thing on her head and I was watching her backstage and she was just standing there for like 25 minutes. I was like, okay. She's like, I'm okay. I just can't move.
My neck hurts.
Yeah. But it was super cool to see the expression, right? Because that's not something I would ever think of, you know, expressing in any way, like with hair. So it was a really interesting experience.
And what about unique fashion shows? I've seen ones with kids and adults, or I've seen ones with dogs.
Puppy
fashion.
Elise, if you don't know this yet about Elise, she works all the dog events that she can possibly work.
Right.
So if you are a charity who has a dog,
if you need help,
component.
She also fosters any dog.
Yeah,
she's
got a good heart.
She's amazing.
good heart. Mm-hmm. Anything else we've seen that's pretty cool, like fundraising wise for women only? Let me think. I've worked a Cowgirls fundraiser.
Yep, that was a fun one.
That's a fun
wasn't
one.
Wasn't that a pink one too?
Yes. They did, like, you know, of course, the Breast Cancer Research Foundation. Types of events, you know, breast cancer mm-hmm. events are real popular for women and kind of pressing into the women vibe. Having, you know, I'm thinking like marketplaces there for women. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I think women go crazy for, if you're trying to really attract women, for some reason, women love like a drawing.
Yes, a jewelry pull.
What is wrong with us?
I know.
We are like, I could win that diamond necklace.
Totally. Well, and I actually had so many diamond necklaces as of late, which has been like, yes. I hadn't had them before. And this last like 6 months, everyone's got a diamond necklace.
Everybody. And so I would agree.
It's been so much fun to do them like with the paddle drop or to do them in different ways instead of just selling it. Because you're right. It's the whole idea of like, I could win. I did this event in Texas. And they did, they love a jewelry pull, right?
But
But what's fun is the little trinket you get for your drawing. Like, so, you know, when, 1 year it was like a Japanese theme. And so they had this awesome Japanese whiskey that you got as like your kind of favor that you to get in the jewelry pull. But it's so much fun to watch all the different things that the organizations come up with to get women enticed into these fun events and revenue centers.
Yeah. And I worked an event. I think it was up in like upstate New York or something. And I had no idea what I was getting into. And these women are just cuckoo for these drawings. I'm talking crazy. Like, they will purchase a bajillion drawing tickets. And then they, instead of doing a silent auction, they do the whole thing is drawing.
Yeah.
And they just drop all their tickets into the things. And they're, you know, just, they hoard you to buy their tickets. I was like, whoa, I've never seen it. Cause you know, we're in Colorado. Like, we don't hoard anything.
Besides, let's be honest. That is so much better than Dessert Dash.
Oh, yes.
Come on.
Yes.
Well, and you're right. Cause I actually had an event where I was going to be the auctioneer and they, you know, I'm asking, you didn't do a silent auction. They're like, no, we do these drawings. And I was like,
okay,
that sounds real cool. Good luck with that. You know, and I'm being as positive as I can. And yeah, that's, and then they're like, well, no, this is what we've done in the past. And I was like, okay. And so then I asked to see their numbers, right? So we can kind of figure out what we're doing live and paddle. And then I saw the drawing numbers and I was like, wait, what? I mean, maybe we don't even do a live auction because y'all are crushing it in the drawing. And it is, it's all about knowing their crowd, right? They knew that their group of people, and it was majority women and it was women focused items. And they were like in it to win it.
Yeah.
They are.
Yes.
Let's think of items that are attractive to women. I mean, we talked about obviously things we can touch, purses, puppies. And jewelry.
What about
puppies?
Like,
women go nuts for puppies at
puppies.
Events.
Puppies.
Auctioning off a puppy.
I know.
Have you seen that? That's amazing. Have you done that yet?
It's very popular lately.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have a bittersweet.
I have mixed emotions about it.
It's quite a commitment.
Yeah. Right.
But I do think that the ones that do it well, you know, there's one that she and I did together in Northern Colorado, and the gal that was auctioning the puppy was actually the breeder as well. And so she was like not letting this dog go to someone that wasn't prepared to be a dog owner.
She was vetting them.
And so that made you feel a lot better, right? Because there was moments where you're like, you're drunk, and it's like, yeah, I need that shit too. And then
people
you go
don't
home,
get
you
drunk
dog.
At events.
Ever.
Come on.
And so, yeah, you're right. It's a mix of emotions. But when they do it well, I think it can be very endearing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So there's women-focused events. Okay. But then we also just learned that most events or most fundraising organizations are not female-focused only. So how do we keep the interest of the people that are really spending the money at your event? And how do we draw them to the event, right? So what can we be doing at our events that are going to make the women happy, that it's going to come into more fundraising dollars for you and your organization? What do you guys think? What do you think would be some tips and tricks?
I think Inga kind of hit the nail on the head earlier, though. It's the emotional appeal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is about
the story.
It's about creating an event that has a great story that pulls you in where you're ready you want to be a part of the movement, you know, and part of the solution. And so I think that's like that initial draw. I mean, you know, themes are always fun, right?
Yeah.
You know,
well, depending
love
on the theme.
Agreed. Right. And I don't love a theme.
Oh,
I love a theme.
Can we do... No more Top Gun themes.
Thank
please.
You. Thank you. No more. I can't do it.
Hello, wake up, everybody.
Know.
That's
it's
a guy
cute.
Theme.
It really
it
is.
Was way too
unless
many.
You have all the men there with their shirts off
there
playing in the
there
Top Gun
okay,
beach
fun. The volleyball.
I did have
now
one.
Now we're talking.
Totally. Well, you're right, because it's every woman out there is just wearing some version of a flight suit that's a skirt.
Right.
But there was a woman at one of our events last year, though, that was the perfect Kelly McGillis. Like the hair, the bomber jacket.
Yes,
she had the black skirt. I mean, she walked in and we all were like, Oh my God.
We all like to look at each other's outfits. Okay, let's act like, of course, we don't want to be all like super competitive and weird about it, but we sure admire effort.
Oh my God. The compliments that, like, Ink and I at a table, I always laugh because it'll be like someone come like, oh my God, great necklace, amazing dress, cool purse, love those shoes. Like, it is awesome the things we see at events. I love it.
I do too. That's one of my favorite things about working events is I'm checking out their shoes. I'm checking out their, I take pictures of people that they don't even know I take pictures. So I can, have you seen me do that?
I was like, what is she doing?
I will literally,
she's a nerd. You're holding your phone. Somebody's outfit, I'm like, I'm like, I'm going to copy that. I'm going to go to Poshmark. I'm going to get my own cheap version of that. I'm going to show up at my next event rocking this. I bought like a sequin jacket because of one lady at a big event in Seattle.
I
was
it.
Like, you are the coolest person I've ever seen.
I'm a stalker. I will ask that person to take a picture with me.
Oh,
can we have a picture together?
That's awesome. Yeah. So we have, you know, fundraising tips. So I think, you know, providing, like, women love experiences. We love, you know, emotion. Not every woman. Okay. Let's not get, you
it's
know,
true. It's true. Yes. Not everyone.
You know, women in general, we appreciate some effort.
Yeah. Yes.
Effort that's put into things, right?
When I think the decor, as much as I like, it drives me crazy when I talk to an organization, you look at their decor budget and you're like, oh, that's a lot.
Yeah.
But the reality is, though, we do love to walk into a room and go,
it transforms.
Wow. Yes. Like, look at the effort and the energy they put into creating this whole experience for you, you know? And so we do appreciate it as much as being a fundraising professional. I look at that line item and go, oh, that's a lot.
Right. Cut that there. No, I think it's fun. I do like theme events. I like theme dressed events probably more than just a theme. Like, I like a white party or, like, you know, where you're all dressed in white. I think those are cool and classy.
Yeah.
You know, those kind of. The country ones kind of get numb and nerves at this point. What do you guys think?
There's quite a few of those.
If I go to another Denim and Diamonds, I'm like, y'all.
With a variation on that, I can't even think about it. But there's like
5,000.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, it's another Denim and Diamonds. Uh-huh. Okay, that's great. So I don't know. But all right. So what are their final thoughts we have? I mean, it's Women's History Month. We're talking about all these cool
what
women
do you
things.
Think? I think of luncheons when I think of women.
Luncheons.
Yes. I mean, do you think there's a particular time if you're aiming towards women as an audience? Like, are luncheons good? I know we had a colleague in our office. She went to a breakfast fundraiser and was not a fan.
It was an 8 a.m. fundraiser.
Yes. Oh, no, thank you.
That's hard.
I mean, for anybody who's got a kid.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean.
I think it goes back to the kind of what I talked about earlier, though. The world has changed. Back in the 50s, a luncheon was perfect to grab a lady's attention because husbands at work, kids were at school. But nowadays, most of us are in the workforce.
Right.
And it's not, we don't have the kind of jobs where we just go, I need to be gone for 2 hours at lunch.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and so if you're looking for a specific demographic, right? If it is about finding maybe a socialite type audience, then I think a luncheon can be a fantastic thing. But it has to be a very pointed group of people that you're raising money from.
That's a good thing to think about.
Mm-hmm.
Really,
who is your donor?
Your donor is. Who are you trying to attract?
And what about kind of event? The timing? Like, I personally do not want to go to a super long event.
No.
Right. I want to get there, give them my money, win a few things, and be done.
Right. I mean, I'm pretty good with just not even going to an event and just sending them the money.
Totally.
I mean, unless it's a special, like, unless there's a, you really have to draw me out to get me to go to, I mean, probably because I work so much.
I know.
Right.
I mean, when you're going to events so often, you're probably like, eh, you know, events. But, I mean, I have to be really drawn out to go to an event.
Yeah.
You know, it would have to, you know, to be.
And you want it short and sweet, or you want it long?
Oh, that's depends on the event. Like, what I don't want, and I think we talked about this in multiple podcasts, I don't want the entire board to have a 5-minute slot or more to just talk. I don't like long presentations. But if it's an event, like there's an event that a lot of us work and do, it's Jeff's event, the Prader-Willi Syndrome Association of Colorado. They do a derby event every year. Well, that's a long event. You know, you're going, you're hanging out, you're bidding in advance, then you do, but it's, you have all this cool stuff you're doing.
Right. Right.
You know, so if it's that kind of event,
it's an experience.
I want to be entertained and it's an experience. And I will go to an event like that, you know, even as somebody who goes to constant events, I will go to an event like that. I will not go to an event that's a plated dinner. I sit down, I have to listen to a presentation. no offense, but a big, long live auction. Nope. I want it to be dynamic and fun.
Short and sweet.
It need to be somebody like Marissa doing the auction.
Right. Yes.
Like, seriously, I would need it because I can't stand long drawn auctions.
Oh, agreed. Well, and also the awards. Like, I love that you want to honor your people, and that's amazing. And but awards, I don't, like, one award recipient that has a video. Like,
that's. Ooh, a video's great.
And they don't get like a 10-minute speech. Like, And I get it's important. There's, because it's also too, what is your event about? This event is about raising money, right? Mm-hmm. And an award event can be a totally separate event.
Yeah.
This one is grab your attention, short live auction, quick paddle.
Yep.
Let's get out of here.
Otherwise, it can really deflate the room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Totally.
Yeah. You don't want
it just
boredom.
Sucks the energy out of the room.
Yeah. I mean, all four of us are telling you all this.
I know.
If you need advice, give us a call because we'll tell you. I mean, it's true. Like, we run these long events and you're like, right. Unless, like I said, you're having like a concert or you're doing like this whole like sports-based event. Yes. That's awesome.
Like a multi-layer experience.
Totally. Mm-hmm. But that's a good point, though. It's a matter, too, of like, because a lot of times people will try to plan that after thing that you're like, your people are done and it's a waste of your energy, time, and money.
Nobody's
and so like, exactly. So like a concert with a headliner, that's a big deal, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to go to the Leukemia Society and stay for whomever they have brought in because it's going to be a big name. But you're a local small organization and you're going to do the silent disco after. It sounds super cool, but it doesn't, your people, it's like 10 o'clock and they're like, and it's time for me to go home, you know?
And so here's a tip. Your team is exhausted.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. That's like having, to me, that's like planning a wedding. And then after the wedding, you plan another thing that you're expecting everybody to go to.
Right.
And when you're done with the wedding, you're tired. Mm-hmm. You're like, you know.
You sure are.
You're tired. Well,
and again, it's knowing your audience though, too, right? Like if there, maybe there's, it was funny because there's one that we've all done that was that we worked at and they had an after party like 2 years ago. No one went to. This year, do you remember when we were leaving the convention and we looked and we're like, look at all the people doing the silent disco. So don't know what was different this year over the previous year.
It was better music at the disco.
Or it could have been that it was, we were actually.
I don't know if I've worked this event.
You weren't there, but we got out early too this year. That could have also been it, right? Like it was a shorter program.
Right. That's the trick.
So then people are like, oh, it's not quite 9. Mm-hmm. I'd love to go get a little boogie in before I go home. But the year prior it was 10 and everyone was like, and it's bedtime.
Yeah. Did they have a seated plate at dinner or anything
like
that?
Oh,
they still managed to get it.
It was quick.
It was quicker this year. That was the interesting part is that like the year before we left and watched and we're like, oh, that sucks that nobody went to that. And then this year we all marveled as we're going up the escalator. We're like, look at all the people.
Yeah. I like a short, quick program at the very beginning while you're like bidding on stuff, doing whatever. And then I like to have like the main thing after like the live auction and paddle, almost like a celebration. Like I like a celebration mentality. Like I've enjoyed those kind of events because then they're like celebrating that they made their goal and everybody's emotional and the people are crying up front and there's like little confetti cannons going off. Like that speaks to me too. And then that's the one event that I'm talking about that has the fashion show too.
Okay.
Like they'll do this whole thing afterward. That's pretty cool.
Again, it's knowing your audience. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because, and it's built into the
because
event.
If there's young people there who can stay out past 10, you know, maybe they're just starting their night.
Totally.
They're going to be staying. They'll be staying for the French fries and drinks that come at the after party.
The
for sure.
I've worked a lot of events that have the after party and I do enjoy it, but it's usually a pretty big name event or something.
And it has to be, you got to have young people there because the older people get tired.
The old people are like, what am I doing? Yeah.
It's true.
Yes. So know your audience, but
yes.
You can plan a very successful after party.
Absolutely.
So we talked about, you know, women donors, talked about women fundraisers, people that are either getting paid to fundraise or all you wonderful women out there that are doing this on your spare time.
I think we should applaud them real quick.
Yes.
To all you moms out there.
We see you.
We know you're doing 5,000 things and then you're, God bless you, you're going out and helping these organizations be able to do what they do as well.
Yeah.
So, and then we talked about women-only fundraising events.
Right.
And then we talked about how to attract women at your non-women-only fundraising event. Right.
Yeah.
And then we had a little segue into all the things we enjoy at events.
We're all women.
Good so
they're
all women, so that counts.
We're pretty good judges of our
events. An after party. Yeah. We're pretty experienced over here, so we have a lot of opinion. But I think this has been a wonderful conversation. It was really, really fun
to have
everybody here. We dressed in pink for you all. We hope that you have a wonderful Women's History Month. Okay, don't lose that history, and that you enjoy International Women's Day. This is going to be posted after that, but we hope that you did celebrate Women's International Day or International Women's Day.
Yep, March 8th.
March 8th.
Friday.
It's coming up.
Yes. So celebrate all those women in your life.
Yes.
Thank you for joining us, and thank you to our special guest, Marissa, as well. And happy fundraising. We hope you enjoyed this All Pink, All Women podcast, and a special thank you to Marissa Walters from Wild Hair Auctions. If you enjoyed our show, please take a moment to leave us a review. You can find us on Apple, Google, and Spotify. Don't forget to subscribe for more great content. And if you're a fan of video, check us out on YouTube. Until next time, happy fundraising.